The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, planet people. This is Kev Energy on Heaps More Energy, where solar is made simple. This show has been brought to you by Heaps More Energy New Zealand for solar monitoring services. The show is predicated on the responsibilities and rights inherent in us all to take part in the conversation and not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Solar Made Simple is every Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. with a replay on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. And of course, it's online all the time with Fresh FM, and you can podcast that at any time that suits you. Kia ora, planet people. This is Kev Energy on our Believe Planet, and where we cover many of the P's in climate change: politics, plastics, and politicians. However, this one also begins with a P, but I had the experience of seeing the Pike River film over the weekend. And if you haven't seen the film, it is seriously a very well-balanced introduction and complete coverage, up to as far as you can get, from that Pike River issue. So I'm going to play the introduction from the YouTube, which is... How does the West Coast community feel about the Pike River film? And then discuss, where does this come into in terms of climate change? So just let's see how we're going to go here.
Nearly 25 years on from the Pike River mining disaster, a powerful new film is set to be released, telling the story of one of New Zealand's darkest industrial tragedies, where 29 men lost their lives on the West Coast. Pike River shines a spotlight on the relentless fight for justice by victims' families, a battle that continues to this day. Senior reporter Juliet Speedy has the story.
The trailer for Pike River released this morning.
Don't go in tomorrow.
I have to. We're way behind. You heard from the boys?
No, why?
There were 35 miners down in the mine. They don't know exactly what happened at the moment.
Starring some of New Zealand's most well-known and accomplished actors, Melanie Linsky, Robin Malcolm and Lucy Lawless.
Recovery. All the men are dead.
The film is called Pike River, but it really tells the story of Pike River from the family's point of view. It's really about a fight for justice and accountability. In fact, it doesn't even go into the mine, despite being called Pike River. It follows the story, including on the day of the explosion, from the family's perspective. So an audience, I hope, gets to walk in the shoes of those families.
Linsky and Malcolm play Anna Osborne and Sonia Rockhouse. Osborne lost her husband Milton in the disaster. Rockhouse lost her son Ben.
There's been no accountability, no justice today.
So in the whole mix of this all, the question we've got to ask ourselves too is, to what extent has the mistakes and absolute failure by the mine managers to even abide by the basic laws of humanity? The so-called cold room was a fresh air room, supposedly, but it wasn't. It hardly had a door in it. There were multiple failings by the mine over the most simple health and safety issues. Many, many, many reports and findings and complaints lodged. So here we have a case of a mine, fossil fuel operation, if you will, hell-bent on extracting as much as possible at the lowest costs as possible money-wise, but in terms of human tragedy, probably one of the highest costs imaginable. So the film is certainly a very interesting one to go and see. It is packed with both emotion, balanced emotion, and the failings of the health and safety aspect. The poor man who was the health and safety officer was, of course, became the brunt of many of the family's angst, as you probably imagine, because he was almost the port of last recall. But at the end of the day, it was the mine manager who was initially harangued in court, then got away, tried to pay everybody off, and I won't bundy the story up, but you can't do that in NZ. And apparently he's now running a retirement home, of all things, in Australia. Now, the politics of it all is quite staggering. I remember being in New Zealand at that time when John Key was around, and also when John Key, on the morning in April, decided to give it away because he had nothing left in the tank. Well, there's quite an interesting nexus with this film and his departure, in my terms. But you see the film and make your own decision and what you come up with. Of course, the Labor government was brought in, and the way the film depicts it, correctly or otherwise, showed the Jacinda Ardern government wholly jumping on that bandwagon to see that they could bring about a resolution. That hasn't happened, and in point of fact, if you go into the history of it all, it shows that successive governments are sidestepping what is basically an issue that mine should never have been allowed to operate. Which brings us to the climate change side. So, if the mine managers and or their captains of industry were so hell-bent on breaking rules from the point of view of protecting human beings, then it wouldn't take much to surmise that the amount of climatic impact would have been the lowest on their list. And this is the problem that we face. You can look around the world, I suppose you look at Brazil, where they clear forests, they pollute the land in this gold frenzy, and unfortunately the perfect storm is gold prices escalated way beyond any imagination possible. But when you have the likes of delirium tremens in the United States driving that juggernaut, it becomes less of a surprise because the gold miners are loving it all. In point of fact, I was at the Machuca Airport the other day, and I do my shows, and there was a company there that were flying people in and out of the West Coast via Greymouth, which in and of itself is not a problem, but being gold miners, they are there and the gold price is escalating, therefore the returns are higher, therefore potentially the short sidestepping of properly entrenched health and safety rules and climatic rules might go by the board. I refer to none less than the Australian gold mining operation that's going to be doing work in Upper Taikaka and its potential effect on the Waipukuro Springs. That story is a story for another day, a lot longer than this program can attest to. But getting back to what happened at Pike River, it would be very interesting to see just how much degradation could have been saved if the human being element and the need for greed wasn't behind purely the mining of what is very, very good coal, but obviously being able to try to maximise their ill-gotten gains because it becomes ill-gotten having not abided by the rules. Similarly, the ability for the Australian gold miners to come into here, our country in South Island, jump on the fast-track wagon, blast through protocols which otherwise would save many, many of the lives that are around. Hopefully nothing's going to happen in the Waipukuro area. But if we look at the beleaguered planet, if we would, in fact, put as much emphasis on saving what is our lifeblood, that is good water and environment, as we do in putting it either into rugby games and or naturally trying to find out the truth out of Pike River, you can see where my nexus is. It is about a balance. So had Pike River mine been correctly managed, then this discussion would not be happening. Those 29 families would not have A, lost loved ones, and B, having then to fight for years and years and years, and that fight is still going on. So it's important to know that if we follow the rules, then the climate change aspect can be covered from the ground up. So that's my take on the Pike River film. It is particularly strong, and it's a very well-balanced operational coverage of that all. So love to hear your views on that. Have a good one. Hope the planets will win out against the fast trackers who are trying to beat the system. Just to follow through on the completion for the Pike River episode, this is a ballad written by a gentleman by the name of Steen32, which I've got off YouTube, and it was done on the 28th of November 2010, which was just about the news about the second explosion in the mine. So here's enjoy this as part of his contribution to that episode.
Children cry with their mothers and wives down in the dark of the Pike River mine. We lost some good men tonight. Let the church bells chime 29 times for each father, brother, and son. Broken hearts of their loved ones. Wipe the tears from your eyes and look to the sky. Try to remember them as they were, not the forsaken trapped in the earth. But don't let them lie in that mountainside, scattered like soldiers all alone. It's not over till we bring them home. Tonight a nation cries for 29 lives.
So, Planet People, that is a heartrending song. It came to the time when it actually happened. The question is, at what point can we also cry for Argentina? Don't cry for me, Argentina, I think it was the song. This is Cry for the Planet. What's really interesting about my take is that renewables, which is the alternative fossil fuels, are an energy source that is brought onto the planet, be it sun, be it wind, or be it hydro. If we do the reverse paradigm and say, what if fossils, where do fossil fuels come from? They come from the earth, in fact, out of the earth. And the cost of that is not only what carbon footprint model we worship or don't, it's to do with the fact that we are polluting the planet. The renewables are overtaking fossils at a great rate of knots. If you listen to my show, A Sustainable Generation Going Forward, the figures are startling as to how important renewables are, and you can't stop that growth. So let's keep it going. We'll finish up with the Climate Action Now. That has been the mantra of the festival. So thanks for listening. Keep it up. Talk soon. See you next one on the other side. Bye.
We're on a planet that has a problem. We need to solve it, get involved and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now. Make it greener, make it greener, make it cleaner, make it cleaner, make it fast, make it fast and do it now. Now we need to build
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.